are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if you were living in the middle of the country, in the South, near New Orleans and Texas and Alabama, you know, Mobile, you got swamped, Jack. And I'm praying for you because that is not over. But if you didn't participate in many of the demonstrations around the country, major cities and around the world, literally, and you had a chance to keep your mask on and gloves on and tried your best to distance from others, I hope that you did. So if you didn't do that, you stayed home. You stayed safe. And for us as American Africans and Africans throughout the diaspora and on the continent, that's the main thing that we must do, is stay safe. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the very top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on podcast, and then the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give it Eastern times. Immediately follow, excuse me. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad. After that program is Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then there's going to be a Black Reality Think Tank on Thursday, this week Thursday. I'll get the details on that. There will be a program, Black Reality Think Tank, this week Thursday, because there are two new programs that I'm going to mention. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays, 8 p.m. On Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition from 4 to 6. Immediately following that program will be the Black Reality Think Tank, the Elders Council, with my good brother, Alfonso Watkins. And Brother Alfonso Watkins will be my guest this Friday on the program, Brother Alfonso Watkins. He was on a few weeks ago. And looking forward to that. We always have great dialogue. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's right, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out, brothers and sisters. Get those products. Order them up. Support ourselves. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Give Brother Bomani Tayimba a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to go with Brother Bomani, his next trip up is South Africa, November 20th through November 30th. $3,700. Everything you need is right at the website of right on the website of AfricaForTheAfricans.org. The trip after that will be Ghana, December 24th to January 5th. That is also for $3,700. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos of previous trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And you can see for yourself, and maybe you can picture yourself taking one of these great trips. Everything is right there. The paperwork you need, the visas, all the stuff that you need. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, my good friend and brother, Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, go to drrinoko.com and check out the upcoming tour, October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. Man, the pictures are just breathtaking. Beautiful. Beautiful. Man, makes me want to go. And then the next trip is October 22nd through November 4th, going to Kemet. So, brothers and sisters, make sure that you check out Dr. Rinoko Rashidi and his tours. Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, Habesha Incorporated.org is doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Go to Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Make sure that you check out the website. Make sure you check out what they're doing. The Kashi Village in Ghana that they are building. The agricultural work that they're doing there and here in Atlanta area, Habesha Works. Back black to our roots. Sustainable seeds. Urban green jobs and the urban growers. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Don't know if the shrine is open yet, but I'm quite sure they'll be opening soon. And we'll talk with Brother Olatunji about the programs and things that'll be happening. But the Greenbrier Mall is open, and so Sister Mama Nia is open with the Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore is open. The hours are cut. They close at 7 o'clock. But the number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu, check him out. They have a coffee bar now. Check him out in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located right here in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg, right down the street from the West End Mall. That's right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They also have We Buy Black products. They sell them right there because, you know, We Buy Black used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. And now they have their products being sold at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The soaps and the toothbrushes, all those things are available right there. So you don't have to go online to get it. Just go to
Wadada's, located 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. They also have Afroletics, their young brother who designed the athletic wear with the African themes, Olmecs, the Moors, the Dogon, Starseed, the Zulus, the Herus, and so forth. The Rebels, what, there's got a Harriet Tubman in there too. So, and a Marcus Garvey, that's right. So, brothers and sisters, check them out. And if you want to go online to check out Afroletics, www.afr-letics.com. Afroletics. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is Dare to Win. If you want to use the phone to listen, or if you want to ask a question or comment or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Us Lifting Us. ULU. Ackerman Institute. The Ackerman Institute and the program is... I think I messed that up. Brother Oshi, did you mess that up? You know, I do that sometimes. I mess things up. But the program this Saturday... This Saturday, the 13th, let me see if I can find that for us right quick so I can make sure I give you the right information. But, of course, it's going to be done online, and so you're going to need to contact Sister Yah Baba Baruti, so you can be a part of the program that is going to happen this weekend. Okay. Common Sense Security for Sisters. Common Sense Security for Sisters. That is this Saturday. It is going to be online due to the current situation in this country. The Common Sense Security, Sisters Only, will be live streamed only. So what you got to do is you make your $10 donation or $5 for young people, young teens, and younger ladies. This is Sisters Only. Make it payable. Make it via PayPal account. PayPal. Yaa Baruti, Baruti, at gmail.com. Yaa Baruti@gmail.com. Include your pertinent information, of course, your name, your email address so they can send you the link for this Saturday, and your phone number. That is this Saturday, the Common Sense Security for Sisters. Ackerman Institute. Brothers and sisters, I can't say it enough. We need to support Baba Baruti and Sister Yaa Baruti in their effort to educate our young warriors. Make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or make it out to, or go to PayPal or Cash App, put in the dollar sign, YaaMBaruti, Baruti, and make those payments. We appreciate it. Another person that deserves to be supported is Sister Gabrielle Aria, and that's Sister Gabby for Sanjay-Haiti. Look at the work that she's doing. It is phenomenal. Go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org. That's how you pronounce Haiti. Haiti. Okay. All right, dear brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 7th. To manipulate history is to manipulate consciousness.
To manipulate consciousness is to manipulate possibilities. And to manipulate possibilities is to manipulate power. Dr. Amos Wilson. In African society, one's possessions do not determine the weight of one's voice. All voices were valued. Here, in this reality of only either dominance or powerlessness, the articulation of political truths rests in the hands of the ruling group. Far less politically powerful groups such as us, leadership has become defined by an individual's ability to manipulate words, to make them appear as though they are not, the ability to tell bold-faced lies and have others believe them, the ability to champion safe causes, objectives which are mere symptoms of the truth, veiled causes they fear to approach, and the ability to shrewdly oversee the interests of those they worship, are owned by, that they are worshipped and owned by and feared. But the fault is not wholly theirs, because our vulnerability and messianic orientation, we become victimized by misleaders who, limited by others, come to us for refuge while full of selfish intent. And docilely following those we are told to speak for us, we too expect and become excited over leaders who talk a good game, who entertain charismatically, who debate well, who have the gift of gab, because we have misdefined the nature of politics and war. Equally dangerous, we operate as if Western society is fair and that truth will come to light and that reform, not revolution, is needed for us because to become victorious. That reform. Affirm, I am politically empowered. Affirm, I am politically empowered. June 8th. It is idle, a holy mockery, for us to pray to God to break the oppressor's power, while we neglect the means of knowledge which will give us the ability to break this power. God will help us when we help ourselves. God will help us when we help ourselves. Frederick Douglass. The 42 principles and oracles of Ma'at speak to action and restrain, not just passive resistance. They give us important logical qualifiers such as, I will not be wrathful and angry except for just cause. I will not utter curses except against evil. Driven by the captive's need to individually survive, many of us have accepted the truncated passive vision of these. In our dogged efforts to escape the necessary violence of our people's struggle to rise, we have committed treason against our ancestors by helping others work their genocidal magic against us. Inaction is still action because inert soldiers change the balance of power. Contrary to popular belief, nothing but ourselves will save us from a predatory people who need massive, self-sedated sheep in order to remake the world in their image. Without our combined open-eye earthly efforts, we will find that the kind of false peace realized through misguided individual prayer and meditation becomes our living death. There is no universal rule stating that people cannot remain as captives indefinitely. Ages and Aquarius or otherwise, we will not free us without us. They only set the stage for what can be done. Cosmic cycles do not take us out of the human reality. They only facilitate the possibilities of helping to change it. Affirm, I only ask my ancestors to assist us in delivering us from evil. Affirm, I only ask my ancestors to assist us in delivering us from evil. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I always thank Baba Baruti. I love him. Like I said many times, I don't read the Inye Sesim ahead of time. When I'm setting up my program, I read it, and I'm just astonished because I've set the program.
of how, you know, they kind of coincide with what I'm going to talk about today in the Yin-Yay-Say-Sim. It's just the spirit of our ancestors. It's the beauty of it.
Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with your philosophy, what you think, and it ends with what you do. You have to guard against what you think about all the things that are put into your mind. Who's doing it? Well, what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who's doing the telling?
While we have such disorientation, while we have such evil actions, because we haven't been doing the telling. What we see that formulates our thinking, our philosophy, what we think that is our philosophy, leads us to the actions that we have. Today's program, brothers and sisters, is the word exhortation. The word exhortation, you know, it's a word that to utter, discourse, or addressing, conveying urgent advice or recommendations. That's what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I do an exhortation. I try my best to inform you, to enlighten you, to move us in a direction of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. An exhortation. When I read to you about Africa for the Africans, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, all the other programs, Habashah Incorporated.org, that is an exhortation. I want you to check them out. I want you to get a chance to maybe think about and then do. Go to Ghana. Go to Rwanda. Go to South Africa. Azania. Take a trip. Work hard here in the United States, wherever you are, or wherever you are in the diaspora. This is an exhortation. And the exhortation is what I want you to do is to be sovereign. That is the ultimate. That is the end game. How we get there, multiple ways. But I don't think there should be no delay. We should break all madness, break all ignorance, kick all of that stuff to the curb, and jump on that damn road to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Get on that road. And don't let anything deter you. There shouldn't be no roadblocks. There shouldn't be no forks in the road for you to make a decision about which way should I go. No, that's one road straight ahead for African people. That one road leads to Africans embracing one another, Africans on the continent embracing African throughout the diaspora, Africans on the continent putting aside the tribalism, the mysticism, the ignorance, the self-absorbedness, the individuals who are despots and neo-colonialists, the individuals who are so steeped in theology, in Christian religion, in Christian religion, and even any other religion, that it prevents them from understanding and seeing what's vitally important, and that is Africans controlling their land, controlling their resources, controlling their lives.
determining for themselves what directions that we want to go and who we deal with and how we deal with them. What's interesting today is I'm going to read a couple of things. Because remember, this is exhortation. And sometimes you put something up just to make you think, you know, just to make you think, because that's what we need to do. We need to think. I'm going to play this because this was interesting. I'm quite sure you've probably seen it, heard it on Messenger or someplace on Facebook or someplace as an attachment to an email. This sister, and I believe she's here in Atlanta, but she mentions Push. I don't know if that was headquartered. Of course, it's headquartered in Chicago, but there are other Push chapters around the country. Might even be here in Atlanta, because she did mention the disturbance that ransacked the Hall of Fame here. That was one of the places that they did some serious damage. Others. So it may be, but I don't care where she is. I love her spirit. And she's on point. See, hear for yourself.
I've been seeing a lot of things talking of the people making commentary. Interestingly enough, the ones I've noticed that have been making the commentary are wealthy black people making the commentary about we should not be rioting, we should not be looting, we should not be tearing up our own communities. And then there's been an argument of the other side of we should be hitting them in the pocket. We should be focusing on the blackout days where we don't spend money. But, you know, I feel like we should do both. And I feel like I support both. And I'll tell you why I support both. I support both because there, when you have a civil unrest like this, there are three types of people in the streets. There are the protesters, there are the rioters, and there are the looters. The protesters are there because they actually care about what is happening in the community. They want to raise their voices, and they are there strictly to protest. You have the rioters who are angry, who are anarchists, who really just want to fuck shit up, and that's what they're going to do regardless. And then you have the looters. And the looters almost exclusively are just there to do that, to loot. Now, people are like, well, what did you gain? Well, what did you get from looting? I think that as long as we're focusing on the what, we're not focusing on the why. And that's my issue with that. As long as we're focusing on what they're doing, we're not focusing on why they're doing. And some people are like, well, those aren't people who are legitimately angry about what's happening. Those are people who just want to get stuff. Okay, well, then let's go with that. Let's say that's what it is. Let's ask ourselves why in this country in 2020, the financial gap between poor blacks and the rest of the world is at such a distance that people feel like their only hope and only opportunity to get some of the things that we flaunt and flash in front of them all the time is to walk through a broken glass window and get it. But they are so hopeless that getting that necklace, getting that TV, getting that change, getting that bed, getting that phone, whatever it is that they're going to get, is that in that moment when the riots happen and if they present an opportunity of looting, that's their only opportunity to get it. We need to be questioning that why. Why are people that poor? Why are people that broke? Why are people that food insecure, that clothing insecure, that they feel like their only shot, that they are shooting their shot by walking through a broken glass window to get what they need? And then people want to talk about, well, there's plenty of people who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and got it on their own. Why can't they do that? Let me explain to you something about economics in America. And I'm so glad that as a child, I got an opportunity to spend time at Push where they taught me this, is that we must never forget that economics was the reason that black people were brought to this country. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile work in the North. Do you understand that? That's what we came to do. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile work in the North. Now, if I right now,
If I right now decided that I wanted to play Monopoly with you, and for 400 rounds of playing Monopoly, I didn't allow you to have any money, I didn't allow you to have anything on the board, I didn't allow for you to have anything, and then we played another 50 rounds of Monopoly, and everything that you gained and you earned while you were playing that round of Monopoly was taken from you. That was Tulsa, that was Rosewood. There are those are places where we built black economic wealth, where we were self-sufficient, where we owned our stores, where we owned our property, and they burned them to the ground. So that's 450 years. So for 400 rounds of Monopoly, you don't get to play at all. Not only do you not get to play, you have to play on the behalf of the person that you're playing against. You have to play and make money and earn wealth for them, and then you have to turn it over to them. So then for 50 years, you finally get a little bit and you're allowed to play. And every time that they don't like the way that you're playing, or that you're catching up, or that you're doing something to be self-sufficient, they burn your game. They burn your cards. They burn your Monopoly money. And then, finally, at the release and the onset of that, they allow you to play and they say, okay, now you catch up. Now, at this point, the only way you're going to catch up in the game is if the person shares the wealth, correct? But what if every time you share the wealth, then there's psychological warfare against you to say, oh, you're an equal opportunity hire. So if I played 400 rounds of Monopoly with you and I had to play and give you every dime that I made, and then for 50 years, every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood, how can you win? How can you win? You can't win. The game is fixed. So when they say, why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. Trevor Noah said it so beautifully last night. There's a social contract that we all have, that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us. So the social contract is broken. And if the social contract is broken, why the fuck do I give a shit about burning the fucking Football Hall of Fame, about burning a fucking Target? You broke the contract when you killed us in the streets and didn't give a fuck. You broke the contract when for 400 years we played your game and built your wealth. You broke the contract when we built our wealth again on our own by our bootstraps in Tulsa and you dropped bombs on us. When we built it in Rosewood and you came in and you slaughtered us. You broke the contract, so fuck your Target. Fuck your Hall of Fame. As far as I'm concerned, they could burn this bitch to the ground. And it still wouldn't be enough. And they are lucky that what black people are looking for is equality and not revenge.
Love that sister. Love her. I really do. Love that sister. Love her spirit. She's most correct. And that's how we look at it. This is exhortation. Trying to get us to think. Now, I mean, I know she said at the end, we're lucky that we're looking for, you know, not looking for revenge, looking for equality. But I think the way we look at it and continue to analyze it, the reality becomes there is nothing we can do because we're dealing with, just as Dr. Bobby Wright said, a psychopath. Caucasians are psychopaths. Sorry for the background noise. They're doing something here around the condo. Maybe some, you know, blowing leaves or something. I don't know. But we're dealing with a psychopath who's callous, who's cold, undermining, demented, demonic, evil. And I know you always say, well, they ain't all white people like that. You know what? Let me say this to you.
Yes, you're right. But one thing I know, white people understand, Caucasians understand, we benefit. I may not like being the brute. I may not like how I've treated others. I may not like how I treat people, but I know I benefit. And because of that, I'm happy. I'm not going to mess it up. I may march these last 10, 12 days. I may say that Black lives matter because I know they don't. Because the reality is, when Caucasians, and I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, when Caucasians came out of that dark age, that medieval age, but understand also, too, prior to that, there was always Africans assisting and teaching them. We taught them when they started to become what they considered, not us, but they considered civilized. And, of course, they're foundation of their civilization is Greece. And when we look at Greece, we see the dysfunction of Greece, the Hellenic period. It was hell, all right, the Hellenic period. And we know that the Greeks came to Kemet and sat at the feet of Africans. Dr. George G.M. James's book, Stolen Legacy, proves that. The so-called philosophers of Socrates, when he came back to Greece, he was made to drink poison. They said, man, what are you bringing all these concepts in here that are foreign to us? Plato, seeing what was happening, he got his hat for a minute and went down to Kemet and studied for years till he came back and became the great philosopher that Plato was. And then, of course, there's Aristotle, who was probably the greatest pledgerer in the history of human beings. What a thief, what an appropriator. The father of this, the father of that. But we see how their society was. In fact, what they didn't understand was how our society and the complementarity within our society, how beautiful it was. They didn't understand it because in European culture, in that icebox, males dominate. There's no equality. There's no complementarity. It's suppression. Males dominate. And then when they were in that cave, the woman had to acquiesce. They didn't care about women. Europeans to this day don't care about women. And so that male dominating attitude is the same attitude to this very day. And it's going to be the same attitude forever. That's why we don't need to deal with their attitude. Hell with them. Stop thinking that somehow, some way that they'll have an epiphany and then they'll be like, yes, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let us share. Let us be one with humanity. That ain't going to happen. I got a letter. I got a piece I'm going to read, an article out of News One. I haven't read anything out of News One. And Atlanta Black Star, BlackAgendaReport.com, Black Roots. I haven't read anything out of those in quite a while. And so this is going to be interesting and going to be cool because those are a lot of times my sources. I haven't read anything out of The Final Call. That was a source when I first started doing these programs, you know. So, but there's just so much. There is so much that you can talk about. And everything that I talk about is from
an African-centered perspective. Everything is discussed with the idea, with the exhortation of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line, families. I got a call. Let me take this call before we get off into, then we'll take a break and then I'll get to this piece. Good morning, caller 404. Good morning.
Hey, Brother Oshie, Yuhuru, Yuhuru.
Yuhuru. Together. Yes, sir. How you doing today, Wes?
Hey, I'm good, man. Did you hear my man Elliot and Richard show last night?
Yes,
man?
I did. With the Mukasa on it, you know I did. I was cracking up, man. I love Mukasa. I love Africa.
Yes, sir. That brother, real, he lived out in Atlanta somewhere, man. I like to meet his number, man. So you know his number. I'll bring him on your show, man. I will.
You know what? I talked to him, and he hasn't been on the program as a guest. He had called in. We had a little conversation, you know, many months ago, but I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna give him a call because that was enlightening last night. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff. Of course, you know, he goes back to the day of our struggle and the formation, of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, of which probably the most noted individual is John Lewis, you know, and how really that situation from being Marimba Ani, she was also a member of SNCC, and she told me how they made that change from the more radical Mukasa and Ani to a more giving and conciliatory John Lewis, and how SNCC changed. You know.
Yeah, John Lewis off, but the one I love, man, is Jameel Alameen.
Definitely. Yeah. Jameel Alameen, most definitely. Most definitely. Black power. You know, burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby. They set him up, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And they lied on
it. But, you know, Wes, the bottom line is any person that really challenges this system, that really has the ear of the people. Like for me, I don't give a damn. You can take this program off the air. You can do whatever the hell you want to do to me. I am going to speak these special truths. They're not me. Like I said, this is not my opinion. I don't give you my opinion. Because even I've played pieces that had profanity in them. I played raps. Last week I did LL Cool J's and Nick Cannon's. Nick Cannon is cold. Love Nick Cannon. You know, played those, and they had profanity in them. And I try my best not to be, you know, use profanity. Because the reality is, that's why I don't give you my opinion, because my opinion is profane. I'll be cussing my ass off if you want to know my opinion about what has happened to us as African people and what continues to happen to us. You wouldn't want to hear it. So what I try to do, Brother West, is give you the information by our scholars, our historians.
Yes, sir.
Our elders, our elders and our ancestors. That's what I try to do.
Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate that, man. Everybody got a role to play in this for our freedom, man.
You're right.
You can't be sitting on the damn sideline bumping your gun. I'm just like my brother, man. I ain't out over there talking to these Caucasians. If I see one of them, I don't care if you got on a blue uniform or not, attacking one of our brothers and sisters, it's utmost emphasis for us to help our folks out, man. We outnumber them now, man. That's why I really don't do all that talking, really, just only talking to your
show,
few other shows, man.
We outnumber Caucasians.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we do globally. Yes, we do. We don't outnumber. Hold on, Wes. We don't outnumber Caucasians in this country yet, because Caucasians have been experiencing negative population growth. But that's globally. Their numbers are dropping, period, because of how and who, what they are, you know. But here, that's why they have honorary Caucasians. That's why Japanese are honorary Caucasians. That's why a lot of other people who are supposedly of color want to identify with being Caucasian. You see, because Caucasians are still running, and of course, they have weaponry. They just, it's just not the manipulation of words in your mind, society, and so forth. It all is backed up, just like the money. It is all backed up by the ability to kill your ass. That's what it's backed up.
But see, Ocean, my point is, when they first stop somebody, one, especially in the hood, okay, 9 times out of 10, when they first snatch somebody out of the cop, it'd be 1-on-1, maybe 2-on-1, with 20 black people, especially guys, men, standing around looking, okay? You can't die today to be frozen. It's over, man. That's the point I'm trying to make, man. Okay? Well, we at war, man. So our people realize that stuff. We at war, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Before somebody crack my credibility, I don't ever toot my own horn because I don't want to get a fat lip. Okay, that's why anybody, I played trumpet before. And you toot your horn, you get a fat lip. But I just like to be cool and do what I do, man. Let's right talk on. To somebody else. I know you, man.
Right
it's
on.
It's our time, y'all.
All right, Wes. All right, dear brother. Hang on. I hear you, my brother. Right on, Wes. Yeah, I hear Wes. Yeah, you know. But, I mean, let's just be real. When I read the N.A. say some, I need to read it again and again. Because what Baba Baruti is saying to us is that because of these conditions, there are many people, many of our people that are weak. Many of our people that shuck and jive. Many of our people who are sellouts. The majority of our people don't have an African-centered mindset because we've been trained to hate Africa. We've been trained to hate who we are. We've been trained to hate one another. We've been trained to believe that because I'm African, I'm better than anybody in the diaspora. Oh, because I'm in the diaspora and I've been influenced and I've been involved with, I am better than them. All of these divisions, all of this divide and conquer, all of the stupidity and ignorance that is so pervasive is by design. It is not happenstance. It is by design. That's why I'm saying. And I read that to you earlier, those sayings. Your philosophy, what you think, it ends with what you do, your actions. But who gives you your philosophy? Who gives you what to think? Your environment. If the environment is controlled by some evil, demented people, and you can't escape that, the only way you escape that is you don't have no damn TV. You don't have no internet. You don't have no damn iPhone. There ain't no BuzzFeed and Buzz News or none of that. There's none of that. And the only thing that you have is knowledge by our ancestors and our scholars and our historians. And they ain't talking about, you know, please let us in. Please share with us. Please educate us. Please give us a job and please promote us. Please let us in your neighborhood. We don't want to build nothing for ourselves. We will buy from you. We're here in Atlanta. No, we don't want a grocery store. We don't want a supermarket. We just want to buy from you. Let me catch this caller and I'm going to go to a break. 646-646, good morning. 646-646, good morning. Okay, we'll catch you on the other side. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. It is always an honor and a pleasure, believe me, to do this radio program. I look forward to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 11 a.m. Eastern Time, to try my best to put something on your mind, to get you to think. Think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in. Think to release that vice grip that they have on our minds. If you understand that tool, you know the only way to release the vice grip is that knob at the end of the handle, to turn that knob, to release the tension on the clamp that vice is set. And that is acquiring knowledge of self,
gaining confidence in who you are and who we are as a people, then now you can open it. And it's not about challenging Caucasians. To hell with Caucasians. It is about loving ourselves and working with each other to build for our future, controlling our land, controlling our resources, doing for self. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective. I love us. I do. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a braids, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own. Yeah, mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on a dance floor. They're gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Gather at the church early Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen ones? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we called home. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. So that I'm loving. So from
from the stove straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow, and I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love
the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving my.
I love.
Soul from the stove straight to the kitchen table. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving my.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Our program lineup here at Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., this program, African Perspectives. On Monday evenings, 6 p.m. to 8, is Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. There is a program, Black Reality Think Tank, this Thursday. This Thursday, in fact, I'll have more information on that on Wednesday's program. And then Friday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, the weekend edition from 4 to 6 on Saturday, the weekend edition. On Sunday at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Before I get off into this article, you know, I've seen this particular piece and I know I've probably read it before on this program, but I'll do it again. You know, this is what Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament, 2nd February of 1835. This is what he said to the British Parliament. And you know how I hate the British. I have such deep disdain. I don't know why I hate more the French or the British. Both of them I hate. How they have treated us and how they have lied. How they continue to lie, how the image of Britain today is just, ugh. Just like when they talked about this morning on National News, New Zealand, and how the Caucasian lady is such a great prime minister, this, that, and other, they love me. And the fact that New Zealand has zero COVID-19 new cases, so they believe that they have conquered the COVID-19 in New Zealand. Just like they conquered the people of New Zealand. Yeah, they come out on their rugby and they do their dance and so forth. But the bottom line is, that's the British, brothers and sisters. That's the British in New Zealand. That's the British in Tasmania. That's the British in what is called Australia. That's the British here in Canada. It's the British. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief, such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I do not think that we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. Let me repeat. This is exhortation. How do they do it? They want to do what? They want to break the backbone of this nation, of this continent.
And where do they want to do it at? Within their spiritual and cultural heritage. Culture. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a totally dominated nation. You must dominate them, Trump. You must dominate. It's called domination. Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament, 2nd of February, 1835, and is still applicable, unfortunately, today. That's why this particular piece just caught me a couple of days ago, and I read it. It was on News One. You know, I always glance at News One, periodically read an article or two on News One. Haven't seen and watched the station since they took off the News One news, you know, in the morning with Fathead, Roland Martin. You know, I haven't seen it. But this particular article written by Trevor Baldwin, and Brother Trevor Baldwin is a, what did he call himself? Trevor Baldwin said, I'm a creative mercenary and ethical lobbyist, born and raised on Beale Street, New Orleans. Beale Street is Memphis. In Memphis, he's a creative mercenary and ethical lobbyist. This article he has, it's called White America, Let's Negotiate. It's interesting in the respect, and brothers and sisters, I'm going to read the article and then we're going to discuss this. And let me know what you think. White America, let's negotiate. We're not going back to slavery, but perhaps we can reimagine segregation and what it would look like in the 21st century. Your shouts of liberty and equality are hollow mockery. Frederick Douglass. What to the slave is the 4th of July, 1852. Your shouts of liberty and equality are hollow mockery. Ashe, 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 oh. Because it is. I'm writing this under clandemic stress disorder. KSD, clandemic stress disorder. I'm writing this under clandemic stress disorder, and only justice can neutralize my trauma. Let me be perfectly clear, and I'm going to use black people, white people. I hate that, but I'm going to do that for the sake of this discussion. I'll read his article just as he wrote it. Let me be perfectly clear. Black people in America are not going into 2021 under this duress. It is unsustainable. So I ask white America, what you want to do? What do you want? What do you want, America? This is a necessary bonfire, for equality is merely a glorified concept consistently disproven. The achievable goal can and should be fairness. I don't believe in utopia. Therefore, I don't believe we can all just get along. My opinion is backed by history, not temporal kumbaya idealism. Since being separated from the gods we once knew, we've asked the good Lord to forgive the sins of our oppressor. As of now, we're all prayed out. There will be no brainwashed obedience under persecution. No more kneeling. Now we're standing up. So please have a seat. Allow me to set the table for those who hate us most, as well as the white liberals who say they hate us least. We're all guilty of saying we needed to have a comfortable conversation, but stop short of raw honesty. Let's strip ourselves of the considerate words like disproportionately and marginalized, and just talk like everyone has at least one racist bone in their body. Somebody wrote today, I can't believe coronavirus blew a 28-3 lead to racism. Yeah. I no longer care that you're racist. I accept that. It's time to renegotiate freedom. Don't be scared. Own the hate you give. This is your moment. Take advantage of it while you have a leader that likes to make business deals and support aggressive division. No need to kill democracy just to kill us. We're right here, and we ain't going nowhere. So I ask again, what do you want, white America? White folks, what do you want? The way I see it, even if Trump is voted out of office, there's still at least 63 million that live among us, and there aren't enough free storage. There's not enough free storage on your phones to record all the tender tantrums of every Tom, Dick, and Karen. This virtual tar and feather is getting pathetically, embarrassingly, yet oddly necessary. That's why we need to skip all the gotcha shaming and deal with our tribal disdain head on. Go back to Africa? Raise your hand if you want black people to go back to Africa. Yep, I bet you do. I bet you do. And unfortunately, all of us should have raised our hands. All of us should have raised our hands. But of course, we ain't raising our hands. We don't want to go because we've been made to feel ashamed. We look at the land. We look at the people. We look at them starving. Look at them with flies on their face. We're embarrassed. Raise your hand if you want black people to go back to Africa. Do it. Do it while no one is looking. Good. Now, do it by poll, then by ballot. It was not so long ago that Brexit seemed inconceivable, but look at them now. With that said, I'm sorry to disappoint, but going back to Africa is an impractical exodus. I disagree wholeheartedly that going back to Africa is an impractical exodus. No, it is not. However, my clandemic stress disorder, KSD, is causing me to have a lucid dreams of a new system, one that creates peace by embracing hate. I'm literally typing in my DMX voice, what these crackers want from a nigga. Somebody let me know. This is what KSD looks like. Clandemic stress disorder. Say it loud, I'm white and I'm proud. For more white exemption, no more hate groups in the shadow of the dark web. No more white power gang signs and cryptic monikers for the N-word. No more cowardly mass shootings in black churches. No more child separations of Hispanic immigrants. No more spreading disinformation with Photoshop and video edits. No more infiltration of progressive organizations to frame or cause dysfunction of a movement. No more cheating to support your false theories of natural selection. No more planting contraband for arrest quotas. No more body cam malfunctions. No more falsifying police reports. No more intimidating whistleblowers who are fellow officers. No more abuse of a taser, a dog, a gun, a coroner, a prosecutor, a judge, a grand jury, and a whole system that protects your declaration of supremacy. Most important, no more denying the existence of racism in law enforcement. Don't ever, ever, ever say bad apples again. Just own it. I'm so dizzy from the earth. And the arrhythmic spin and gaslight deflections where the real causes are ignored. I'm fatigued by double standard semantics and nauseated by the shameless hypocrisy that is highly visible in the court of social media. I suffer from these ailments while images of black bodies trapped, tortured, and murdered carousel my news feed. This is clandemic stress disorder, KSD. So knowing my symptoms and knowing we haven't truly recovered from the Civil War, I seriously ask you, can there be a dual nationalism under one nation? Excuse me. Something in my eye. Newsflash. We aren't going back to slavery. Perhaps, but we can reimagine segregation. What would that look like in the 21st century? Is there a way to create a society optionally separate but equal? Well, my KSD allows me to fantasize about it. Picture this. Instead of using every trick in the book to redline real estate and gerrymander votes, save your energy. Let's just rezone. White people can have a few Midwest states all to themselves, and other states will be divided into three sovereign zones: white, black, and neutral. The white district can live in supremacy heaven, legally prohibiting other races and non-Christians. This will be a place of ultimate liberties where you can stockpile weapons, ban same-sex marriage, outlaw abortion clinics, legalize meth, and erect all the Confederate statues you want. Where your pure-blooded lust for miscegenation, you can choose the consequence of punishment. There will be no more Mexicans stealing your jobs because you will not be permitted to use any other race to exploit labor, which also means you gotta make your own Mexican food. However, if you want to allow Hispanics who identify as Caucasians to live in your district, so be it. You're welcome. You're welcome to Rafael Eduardo Cruz and George Zimmerman. Universities, national parks, and major cities will be neutralized. There'll be neutral zones functioning in full accordance with the constitutional law. However, if you live in a white district and want your hair done by a gay hairdresser, there'll be an additional tax. This neo-segregation alleviates issues of displacement and gentrification. It also reduces Republican co-opting and Democratic presumptions of black vote, because living in a segregated self-interest truly allows there to be a third political party as a visible option. The way I see it, what is the skill set of all the Stephen Kings and Steve Bannons without their hatred for blacks, Mexicans, and Muslims? None of these targeted groups in America want white subjugation. Therefore, there would be no threat and no group to blame. And you got a picture here, somebody. Ice Cube's in this. Shows a daytime police officer, called, a cup of coffee in his hand. Overtime, he got the riot gear on the gun. And then the weekend, the Klan outfit with the cross burning, with a beer in his hand. On another note, among the black community, this neo-segregation would subsidize the growing divide of so-called free thought, which tends to create a coon versus containing dilemma depending on the messenger, especially for black celebrities who are often positioning themselves for more money and power and not necessarily the best interests of the people. Skipping over Kanye, the black mega community needs to ask itself, make America great again, the black make America great again community, needs to ask itself, what is the purpose of a Candace Owens other than being a token tool for the GOP? What comes out of her mouth isn't conservatism. It's plantation porn. I'm so over giving legitimacy to this buffoonery. Let me be real. Do you think anyone at Fox News has ever invited Diamond and Silk to their homes for dinner? Furthermore, I haven't heard your president call any black person a true patriot? And there's an obvious reason why. So I ask again, white America, what do you really want? This country will be 244 years old on July 4th. The social experiment of a more perfect union is not working very well. Furthermore, a large percentage of the population doesn't want it to work and will do anything to sabotage, force attrition of equality. This reluctance makes me question advancement. I ask, will the popular vote keep meaning nothing? Are we supposed to desperately place faith in the good health of a Supreme Court justice and in moral integrity of openly biased, life-appointed federal judges? The timing of the two terms can easily change the course of this country for the next 50 years, even if the vast majority of the people are pointing in the opposite direction. This makes no sense. I'm not advocating segregation based on hating white people. I'm advocating a solution based on white people hating everybody else. Therefore, I'd rather have honest, uncomfortable negotiations of segregation than helplessly witnessing the engineering of a more deceptive socioeconomic asphyxiation cloaked as fair progressive democracy. The confluence of this moment is uniquely symbolic of racism as a public health emergency, a crisis that affects us all. I believe this too shall pass. However, I believe this too shall repeat if not properly treated. White America is Black America. It is the same blood. In order for our intrinsic humanity to flourish, we can no longer allow the transference of justice to be tainted. White America has lost all moral authority. So the response must be genuine. The reason this nation protests feels different is that it's tearing down the fence so many were comfortable straddling. I acknowledge the so-called good white folks on the front lines as well as a solidarity around the world, but the slow drip of love and respect, no matter how potent the individual bond or gesture, simply cannot outpace the irrigation intentionally designed to poison the wells. Remember, the public outrage we're witnessing isn't about the horrific murder of Ahmaud Arbery, of Breonna Taylor, or George Floyd. It is about the inaction of law enforcement to make any arrests without public pressure. 5 years ago, under the same trauma, I proposed enacting a policy of three strikes for cops. Some may think that's too lenient. Others will think it's too harsh. All I know is we need substantive action immediately. We must demand police legislation that penalizes brutality and automatically indicts the killers of unarmed citizens. If you don't want that, white America, now is the time to say what you really want. That's young man Trevor Baldwin. What do you think? 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right. It ain't what white America want. What do we want? You know what I mean? And that's the question we got to really seriously ask ourselves. Let me tell you something. I've been sitting by idly just listening to the different chatter coming from so-called Black Talk Radio. And it's the same old rhetoric over and over again. But while we're doing that and talking the same old stuff, and just like what that brother wrote about Hispanics in our neighborhood, they declare war on us, man. And nobody's I guess everybody's too chicken to talk about it. My cousin texted me from Chicago, and she said the Latin Kings and a couple of other groups did solidarily to unite to create waters.
Yeah.
I've talked to various sisters out of Chicago that said they've been chased out of there or pulled out of their cars. Yet we talk the same old shit over and over and over again. And, you know, this stuff, man, it makes me sick to my goddamn stomach. Excuse my French, but reality is reality. When you got a people declaring war on you and we still hear about Biden and Trump and all the rest of this BS, it just depressed me. Now, say, no, I'm being honest.
No,
man.
I hear you. I hear you.
And then to top it off, you know, you got these so-called gangbangers out of the hip-hop generation still slaughtering one another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, what do we want is the question. What do we want? We know what the Caucasian, what Brother X, when he calls in from Chicago, he tells you every time. They want to exterminate us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't need to know what they want. They told us what they want. Or to keep our numbers down so slow that they could... small that they could control us because they have a fear of reprisal. But again, what do we want? Forget them.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And that's where we should keep our focus. That's where we'll find out who's honest amongst us and who's not. Because anybody can get on here and call the man, you know, that this so-called Yerugal or whatever you want to call him. We could call him all sorts of names, but we're still in the same situation.
That's right.
You know, like this one brother said, he said, like, look, and you know, and this is a hard fact. He said, you got a mother that's got a baby that has a job, but yet she'd rather throw a pamper out the window than take it and put it in the trash can and then blame the system for that. Come on, man. We got to do better. When are we going to challenge ourselves? And I know, like, Franklin Joseph, what's good about us? Oh, no, we endured a lot of propaganda. Mm-hmm. We haven't, some of us, a lot of us bought into it.
Right.
But the challenge is, what do we think? What do we want? That's the question.
Yes,
we already know what the rest of them want. So, you know, man, while they're declaring war on us and chasing our people down, those so-called thugs up there and gangbangers that sagging, they ain't doing crap about it.
No.
So, you know, I mean, this is sad. Same thing out in Los Angeles. When I was out there, they told me there's parts of L.A. I couldn't even ride through. But nobody talks about that. They still believe in this black-brown coalition. You know, I mean, come on, man. What do we want? That's the question. And it pisses me off. Like you said, my thoughts and what comes out of my mouth might be profane. So I'm going to keep my opinion to myself the best I can. But no, the profanity comes out when I tell you what I really think.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, I just had to call in, man, because this is sickening. It's really sickening. What do we want? We need to ask ourselves that. We need to challenge ourselves and find out who's with us and who's against us. Because we got to get through that. I can't. I'm not even going to use that word Negro no more because, you know, it was some people that were declared Negro that actually are honorable people. So I'm not even going to use that word for what we got to climb out under first. But you heard that older brother last night tell you about the uncle. He called them Uncle Tom.
Right.
Well, they're still around. They're still around.
Oh, no doubt.
That guy.
They're traitors.
Yeah. So, you know, still around. Now Sharpton. Now Sharpton, a known FBI agent, is calling the march.
Yeah.
In August.
Right.
Because, you know, wants to... The government wants to take control of these protests and find out who's really behind it. So, you know, I mean, it's the same old thing over and over. It's so like the March on Washington. That wasn't nothing to do with King and the other five of them. That was all the people out there saying enough is enough and breaking bottles over people's heads and doing what they had to do. And they put King and them in there to quell that nonsense.
That's right.
And to give this inspirational, emotional speech. When are we going to say they're replaying history over and over and over again, yet we want to talk about something else? So, man, you know, come on, man. I apologize for my profanity.
Don't worry about it, man.
Me off.
Don't worry about it.
The only person
that would probably jump on us would be Scotty Reed out of North Carolina with Black Talk Radio Network. And, of course, our good brother, Elliot Booker.
Well, I get enough of that right out of his mouth in my ear. So, all right then, brother. But okay. I'll keep it down. I'll go back on. I'll go back on mute.
Okay.
Man. All right.
Thank you, Ralph. All right, bro. Peace, brother. Yeah, I feel his. I feel his sentiments. I feel how he's, you know, trying to deal with this. You know, question is, what do we want? We don't know. But when we fail to look at our leadership, that would point us in a direction. You know, there are times that you come into a fork in the road. When you come to that fork in the road, a choice must be made. Which way are we going to go? And I state many times that when we came to that fork in the road in the 50s, we were conveniently steered towards integration. Because at the time of the 60s, we had many African countries coming, breaking the yoke of colonialism. Imagine if we embrace what Kwame Nkrumah said at the speech he gave in 57 when Ghana broke away. Because he said it then. He was clear then. It wasn't like later. He was very clear then that Africa must be one. Imagine if we would embrace that. And imagine if Africans in the diaspora would have understood that. Because we've been constantly going through a process of trying to please and please and beg Caucasians. Let me take a call. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening? What's happening, OC? Listen, hey, Ralph, I want fried chicken, watermelon, biscuits, a white woman, and then I'll feel as though I done accomplished something in the mind of a Negro. Hey, listen, man, we constantly being played, bamboozled, hoodwinked. The brother last night was the first brother I ever heard from that civil rights era speak in the manner in which he spoke. You know what I mean? And his name doesn't run all around the country in the way that crying, I've been beat upside the head, John Lewis, though, or Claiborne and some of these other insufficient Negro gatekeepers, and most of all, bootlickers. So the question is, like you say, what do we want? I want freedom and sovereignty. I want to be able to do whatever I wish to do and not be under the auspice of a no-good, filthy, stinking cracker who ain't got no good use for me or my people. Now listen, I want to say this. And, Ochi, I need you to push this message. I need everybody in the listening audience to push this message and get the word out. GoFund has raised almost $20 to $30 million for the Floyd family.
Wow. I remember hearing you saying something last night, because I listened to the program last night too, because I know Brother Mukasa, Africa. I love Brother Mukasa. And so I heard you say something about a fundraiser. I didn't hear the details because I was at the time talking to my daughter. But
I'm about to give them to you.
Go ahead.
GoFund has raised for the family $20 to $30 million. And this ambulance-chasing, non-articulate pimp lawyer dirtbag, I'll just name a few names that I'll pass on right now. Benjamin Crump is a Jewish law firm that he's part of, have the administrative rights to control it. I want to know and I want to find out what is going to be the fees that they take to look over this fund. Because them bastards shouldn't get no more than 5%, if that much. This is not a civil trial where they're entitled to their pimp wage of 33 1/3. We in the community need to question this and put the word out. So everybody listening to this, please, please make a post on Twitter and Facebook in regards to this matter. Because it's no way in hell they supposed to use the money raised by the people to pimp off of a dead man. So that the Jew and this slimy Negro could live a lavish lifestyle. Now, I know that Floyd's children and family will be taken care of, hopefully. But them bastards should not eat off of it in the manner in which they low down behind will try to. And we as a people have to stand up for the principles in regards to how we are being abused by Negroes like Benjamin Crump and his ilk. Because you know Pimp Daddy Al will be looking to get his share of it. And it seems like he's right there with the family with his usual shenanigans. So you know they'll be throwing him a little something. It's just a damn shame. A damn shame. A damn shame of what's happening to us by these pimps and so-called leaders.
Yeah, you're right about that, because it's been happening for so long.
But it has to be questioned, and we, whoever is listening to this, have to post this on their Facebook and Twitter page and with other information they are able to post out there in the hemisphere, so that there could be watchful eyes on these bastards. Because there's no way that they should be getting a large portion of that money for something that was not raised to benefit their robbing behind. So please, people, do something. Support this. Go out there and put the word out there and let everybody you know question it, so that we could keep a cap on what these filthy bastards are able to get their hands on. Please, people, stand up for something.
Well, considering what Crump and Lee Merritt and I guess I thought they had their own law firm, but you're saying to me that they're really attached to a Jewish law firm, European Jew law firm?
Well, that's what a big brother who I trust totally said to me, and I ain't really gonna question him, because you know his information is usually on point.
Okay.
So you know if he says to me anything different, then, you know, I'll let it be. But, hey, even if they own the law firm themselves.
Right. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I'm not
telling the bastards to take in money from something that they're administrating, with the fact that they go get a couple of million for just playing the game that they're going to play, selling the people out and selling the family out. You know what I mean? The bastards ain't never took a civil case to trial to expose all of the information that needs to be exposed. All they do is talk sugar, honey, iced tea, and then settle the case, and business go on that usual, and they run to the next one. The sad thing is that the Negroes whose families been affected go along with the bull sugar, honey, iced tea, and allow these...
Because it's interesting that
that they are the ones, and they've been the ones since Trayvon Martin, as I can remember them prior to Trayvon Martin, but since Trayvon Martin, if there is a case of note, they have been involved.
And what do that tell you? What do that tell you? Don't that tell you that something is fundamentally wrong, especially with a Negro who can't even articulate anything, and that there's always the same people involved pushing the agenda? It's absolutely a game. You're being played. You're being hoodwinked. You're being bamboozled. You're being manipulated. You're being white manized. I mean, come on, man. You gotta be smarter than this, bro. You gotta see what game's being played on you. If you that dumb to keep on continuously going back to someone that's abusing you and manipulating you, then you deserve to get the what you get. And that's the position we in, and that's the position we allow ourselves to be in all the time. At some point in time, you have to say, we gotta run from these Negroes. Get out. As you, your favorite movie is, get out, get away from Ben Crumb and his cohort. They're no good for you. Now, if anybody disagree with me, call up and tell me how the Negroes is good for us. Please, I wish somebody would. Please.
Well, maybe somebody will come on Wednesday and explain the good that Crump and Lee Merritt and those other individuals who are with them, I ain't saying another law firm, but with them who have dealt with cases of death of our people at the hands of police and vigilantes. You know?
Ochi, can I say this to you? In this whole process, think about this and you know this. There's a script to this game. And the script to the game is this. People get up in an uproar like they do it now. A Negro like Ben Crump and Lee Merriweather come in and talk that sugar honey iced tea. Get the people riled up, manipulated, calmed down. And then they go into the back room and decide how much we want to give these Negroes to quiet it down. And after they get, they cut, it's on to the next one. The fact of the matter is, in all of the cases, like I said, that Ben has had, neither one of them have ever gone to trial. They've all gotten settlements, and their pockets done got fatter. And we in the same position we was in from the last time. That's why I say these cases are nothing more than, if truth be told, jokes. Because it's going to just continuously happen until the narrative in the script change. And unfortunately, the narrative in the script ain't going to change. It's just going to vary. And the only reason you're getting what you're getting with George Floyd right now is because white folks are catching hell and their position is dwindling and they're seeing how they really ain't Sugar Honey Iced Tea either in the eyes of the powers to be. So really, let's stop playing games. And the case in point, just study Occupy Wall Street, and it's the same game.
So you said that. So you said that there's a GoFundMe account that has over $20 million.
$20 to $30 million that was raised.
That's mad.
By George Floyd's brother, that is overseen. Being overseen by Benjamin Crump's law firm, which may be his own or may be Jewish owned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. The deal.
Okay. All right. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. Definitely. Because I agree with you. I agree with you because they've raised that in his name. They don't get a third of that. They may get a third because when they come to a situation, just like all the other injuries and deaths and so forth, what's your case? Oh, okay. I'll take this on a contingency. Okay.
Or a third.
You know, I'll get a third. The doctor or anybody else who I suggest or reference you to will get a third, and you'll get a third. So if it's
it usually doesn't work like that. If you know what you're doing, it boils down to the third goals, and the lawyer is supposed to be responsible for the doctors and anything else. If you've ever been in that situation, because I've been in it, and the lawyer and the doctors and all the other was paid out of the third. That was the agreement. Now, I mean, it may be
okay.
different for
That's
some,
what I'm saying.
But in this situation, it shouldn't roll like that.
If you made
There's
that kind of agreement.
You're supposed to get a third for administration. Fee.
Right. If you made that kind of agreement that in the pale of money, they only getting a third and you're going to take two thirds. That's great because you're the one that you're the injured party. You're the one that suffered all this. I would agree with that. But what I've come to understand over years is that you're the injured person. You come to the lawyer. He sets it up. He even gets the doctor. They get a third. The lawyer gets a third and you get a third. So I would love
I've been in two situations and it didn't happen that way with
That's
me.
Great.
The lawyer was responsible for
That's
taking
great.
Care of the doctor and things of that yeah. things of that nature.
Okay.
You know what? But the point of the matter is, you know what it boils down to is he ain't supposed to take a third for administration costs in regards to something that was set up by George's brother, and that's supposed to be for the family and for his kids.
Well, listen,
and if that happens, we have to question
to
it.
Me,
and
there
I don't know the number of shops in
Jay,
I won't call in.
Jay, if the family set that GoFundMe up, there ain't a damn thing that Crump and Merrick can get. The family did that. The family did that out of the death and all the notoriety that's happened because of his death. And if,
right, but
and,
what I'm trying to get you to what I'm trying to get you to understand is that Benjamin Crump is administrating it. Is as they say, one would say, the overseer.
Okay.
of it. And the thing
okay.
is,
the family
what
set
is
it.
He going to try and take on it?
Okay, hold on. The family set it up, but they allowed the Crump, his law firm, to oversee it. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we'll keep track of that. Okay. Okay, Jay, we'll keep track of that, man, for sure. And if you got somebody else to help substantiate what you're saying, you can get them on the air on Wednesday. Please do so.
I will, my brother. Hold
All right.
up. And
Hotel.
Listen, Oshi, you're doing a great job, man. I tell you, your show is a hot show. And if you could get that brother that was on Elliot's show, last night.
Oh, yeah, I can get Brother Mikasa.
Your show.
I can get Brother Mikasa on. Yeah.
Not an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours. 45 minutes I'll settle for. Please do it, bro. Please.
All right,
brother.
Okay, Jay. Okay. Peace. 602. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. Brother Marcus here.
How you doing, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
What you say referring to the lawyers, you know, they get a third, but they take care of the doctor. So he's right in that regard. You know,
okay.
when they take the case,
uh-huh.
they're supposed to take care of the doctor. So, but the doctor, he can't get a third because, you know, that's too much money for the doctor when he can get nothing.
Well, not in terms of what doctor visits cost, not in terms of medication that they send you. I mean, when you go to the hospital, imagine how much money that is. You could go spend a week at one of the top hotels in a suite that wouldn't cost you more than what a doctor would cost you, what a doctor's visit or hospital visit would cost you, you know?
Yeah. Well, in reference to the GoFundMe thing, the way that works is the GoFundMe, the administrator, because, you know, GoFundMe has their administrators too now, you see? So they get like 2-3% of that money, see? So the GoFundMe administrator, George's brother, he probably just set it up with the lawyer so that, you know, they divvy up the money and they have no problem. Because
okay.
if he get that check by himself, you know what I'm saying, he'd
okay.
probably be a problem with the family.
Yeah.
But they can't, you know, they can't get a third of that because they didn't adjudicate no case at all.
Right,
divvying up the money. So I just think that he just do that, you know, to cover, you know what I'm saying, no legal problems with his family. But, brother, I agree with what the brother said last night on the show. Ain't no, these white folks ain't gonna, cannot be reformed, okay? They're not gonna change.
No.
You know, and,
no, they're not.
You know, and all they're doing to black people is just appeasing us. When they come out with all this, oh, we're gonna do this. Oh, we're gonna disband the police. Oh, we're gonna. That's their first line of defense in this system. The police is their first line of defense. You think they're going to dismantle the police? Hell no. They're not going to, because that's their car. That's the first line of defense for the system. And they all work together. So it ain't going to change.
Yeah.
401 years of shot and say, it ain't change. It ain't going to change tomorrow.
That's right.
These people cannot change. I swear. They benefit from keeping their foot on our neck. So why they go ease up? Hell no, they ain't gonna do it. You're gonna have to get a machete and chop his damn foot off. See, they don't have no foot to put on nobody's neck no more.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that stage, then you go see some change. You see, but these people ain't changing. They're just that's just their nature.
That's who they are.
That's who we are, brother.
That's who they are.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
The time is running.
All right, dear brother. Right. Thank you, Brother Marcus.
404. Hey, brother, can I say what's up?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, sir,
ahead.
Man. Hey, yes, sir. You asked what we want. I want us to start fighting back, man. Okay? That's all depend on ourselves. But to my man, Jake, I just looked up sharp the number, man. Get an ink pen. It's 877-532-5797. Okay, I repeat it. You say you ain't got sharp the number, you got it now. 877.
Well, that's to the radio.
532.
That's to his program.
Yeah, it's a radio show.
Yeah,
the radio show.
Yeah.
877-532-5797. Peace out, man. I love y'all, but you're right, man. They got about $30 million, man. And I hate lawyers, man. I'd rather deal with a piece of bovine, feline, quinine excrement, because at least that's fertilizer. But a lawyer ain't nothing, man. This court system is a joke, man.
What's that
number? We talk about, we want the court system is a joke, man.
Yeah. What's that number again?
It's all for Chopper and Show.
Yeah.
877-532-5797.
Okay.
That's all right. Peace and blessing. Get my man on there. Get my man on from last night because I want to get his contact information, man.
I sure will. All right.
Peace and blessing, man.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Yep. That's right. This is exhortation. Trying to get you to do something. Exhorting you beyond what your norm might be. Trying to get you to look at, understand, but more importantly, implement. We still need information, but it's time for action. We'll always need information, but it's time for action. And the action that I'm requesting is acquiring the knowledge that we need to build nations. The action I'm requesting is that we learn how to build roads, highways. We have that. We really have everything we need to go home and to help build Africa. We have everything we need. We have all the expertise. The only thing we don't have is our right mind. That piece I read to you, no, exodus of Africans leaving America, that's preposterous. It is the only damn answer. Because what he proposed was seriously rhetorical and satirical. White folks, what do you want? No.
Yes, Caucasian would love for us to leave. They wish we would just disappear. Right after we had done what we had done, that moment, they wish they all could have sent us back. Lincoln said it. They all said it. It didn't make no difference, north, south. And the war was not fought because we were in captivity. The war was fought because of the issue of labor. Brothers and sisters, I got to go. Join me Wednesday. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.